I appreciate you.
It's good to be certain there tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. As your pastor mentioned, I'm at the Open Door Baptist Church in Linwood, Washington. We are about 20 minutes north of Seattle. I'm using this one, right? Man, it sounds good, though. You want me to turn this one on? All right. Well, I'm not going to be running around, so I probably could have used that one. So speaking of that, thank you for praying for my back. Your pastor told me that he mentioned that to you, and it was an issue. It hit at a horrible time. I basically have a ruptured disc, and so I'm kind of battling with that. So I appreciate your prayers. I'm doing a little bit better, and which means I've been preaching shorter messages lately, and then the church has been growing during that time. So anyway, so we'll see. 20 minutes north of Seattle is where our church is, and it's the Bible Belt there in Seattle, and just a bastion of truth and conservative values and morals and ethics, and just great to be a part of that. But no, God has us there. Our church just celebrated 50 years. It's only had, outside of me, one other pastor. Outside of me, Dr. Ken Blue is our founding pastor. And I've been on staff 20 years this October, so next month will be 20 years. And just by the grace of God, we've been able to move forward and reach people for Christ in a needy area. And I'm honored to be here. I'm thankful that your church is having a meeting like this. We do a little meeting, as your pastor mentioned. There's something about just a sanctified time, a dedicated time on a Monday night, a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night, where you're coming out in a time you're not normally here, opening the Word of God, looking to heaven and saying, God, speak to me. It's a special time. It does something for you, something for your church. And so thank you for hosting this meeting. Thank you that my wife and I can have a part. Brother Shemesh is a dear friend of mine. We've, by the grace of God, had a part there in that ministry. And it's really amazing to see what God is doing there in Nakhon Sawan, Thailand. All right, the ushers in the back are waving to me. Anybody not get a handout? Raise your hand if you didn't get a handout for tonight, and they'll bring those to you. And just, I don't know, when I preach, I always generally will have a handout as I'm preaching. And, my wife doesn't have one. Yeah, she needs it. And I'll tell you, she needs this message. No. You know, I guess for me, it's the light of the body is the eye. And so they say 97% of what you hear, you're going to forget.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's whoever they are, they say that. But then so I'm thinking to myself, you know, you labor, you pray, you study, you put together messages, and you want your people to ascertain what is being said. And so, you know, as you're putting them together, I think, okay, if people can have a note and they can write it or they can see it on a PowerPoint, if that helps them to retain it, I say praise God. So that's kind of why I do it. Hopefully it's a help to you. All right, we'll get right into the message here tonight in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Let's start reading in verse 1, have a word of prayer, and get right into this thought. Notice in verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Now, as you read this story in the ensuing verses, I want you to do the best you can. I'm going to read down to verse 13. Discipline your mind and picture the story. See it with your mind's eye. And kind of just follow the narrative the best you can to paint the picture as we read this text. Verse 2. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and beyond they be in Hazaton Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Amen. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, verse 9, if, when evil come upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast out thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. But I want you to focus on verse 12 and 13. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company, and cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones. Picture the story. Their wives and their children. Would you read verse 12 with me, and then let's have a word of prayer together. Let's read verse 12 together. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Father, bless your word tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. In this passage, we see a picture of God's people having their enemies come against them. And then we get to see their response. And then God is gracious enough to glean from this passage. It's interesting to see how they were going about, listen carefully, their normal daily lives. And this unexpected challenge arose out of nowhere. Should sound familiar. Sometimes in life, it takes those kinds of challenges, those kinds of adversity, those kinds of valleys, if you will, to get us to turn our eyes upon Him. Now, in this particular passage, you can just envision, if you look at, I believe it's verse number 12, one of the best things we can learn from this passage is when battles come, let's be honest and admit very simply, we do not have the answer. We don't have the answers. Look at verse 12. Just look at it again. We have no might against this great company. That's exactly how we should respond. We have no might. You know, it's in our nature. If you've got adversity or challenges or whatever it is come against you, our nature is, I'll figure this out. I'll develop a plan. I can handle it. Verse 12 again, neither know we what to do. This is so hard for many people just simply to admit. We don't have all the answers. And we need to be able to acknowledge that. God wants us to acknowledge that. Verse number 12, it's the right response, but our eyes are upon thee. First of all, just notice in your notes, if you would, our battle is real. Our battle is real. Just acknowledge it for what it is. Now, in verse number 1 and verse number 2, we see Jehoshaphat. He's just sitting there drinking his coffee, eating his bacon and his eggs, his avocado toast. his gluten-free maple bar. And the news comes down the pike. The battles come. Let's be honest, this might spoil anybody's day. I mean, listen, the enemy's now in his backyard and they're not playing lawn darts or badminton. It's a real thing. And they came against him, it says in verse 1, to battle. So this is not a drill nor a joke. Jehoshaphat's got some decisions that he needs to make. We have many in our country today being forced to make some pretty hard decisions. Notice verse 2 again. It's a great multitude that comes against him. He's in a battle. Our battle's real. Have you ever found in life that when other people are in a battle, it's a big deal, but never as big when you're going through the battle? I think if we're honest, we would all agree our battle's real. We may not be facing the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, but we are indeed in a battle. In our country, I mean, obviously our country, we can all see that it's very polarized. We see the state of Christianity in this country, just as a minister of the Word of God, Christendom in general is not in a great place. Many are acquiescing on things that are cardinal doctrines in the Bible, and they're throwing in the towel. Can I just say to Cornerstone tonight, this is no time to begin to back up or acquiesce on things we know are right. Amen. We have to stick by the stuff. Hey, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. You don't need to be condescending. You don't need to be rude. You need to love people, but you need to stand for truth. And may I say, the battle is with, and this is important, the battle is with the God of this world, not flesh and blood. I don't know what you dealt with here, but in our state, people just, it's the legislation, it's the governor, it's this, it's that. No, wait, listen. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The battle is with the God of this world, the one who's blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's the battle. And his goal is to do two things, to divide and conquer. The question is, will we allow it to happen? That leads to our next thought. Just notice number 2, our response is crucial. So when a battle comes, when a challenge comes, something arises, how we respond is crucial.
That's right. Amen.
Look at chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. This is the response, so if you can just see it right here in the Bible. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Let's just say right off the bat, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together, all of them, asking help of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's the right thing to do. You see in verse 3, they feared and set themselves to seek the Lord. Listen, that's the right response. That's the right, seeking the Lord right away. Not the last resort. I heard about one mom that she was struggling, and this going on, that going on, and she tried everything she could possibly try to handle the situation. And finally, one of her kids said to her, "Mom, don't you think we should pray?" And she looked at him and said, "Has it come to that? Let it be the first thing that we do." They proclaimed a fast. Fasting is biblical. They gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Notice the content of the prayer. Look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Similar to Nehemiah, reminding God of his promises. And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Obviously, this is rhetorical. He's saying to God, we know that you can handle this situation. You've done it before. I love verse 7. Watch this. Look at verse 7 real quick. He says, "Art not thou our God," watch this, "who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people?" He's saying, you've done it in the past. Dear God, please do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. That's good.
And then in verse 9, tell me if you see any correlation to today in verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, and the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. We cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear and help. Yeah. I love the beginning of verse 9. If you look at it, it says, if, right? You know, okay, if the evil comes, and then when. It's kind of classic. So in essence, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
It just... We're going to face it, right? Job 5:7, as sparks fly upward, so man is born unto trouble. It's like Jesus in John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, right? But we know the rest of the verse, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I love the content of it in verse 9. Look at it again. The content of the evil, as the sword, war, judgment. Hey, listen, I still believe God rules in the affairs of men. I don't believe for one second that God has abdicated his responsibility to man. I'm not a deist, or not a deist, what was George Washington? Was he a deist? Was that right? Help me out. Somebody knows history. Come on. Oh, he was, yes. Listen, in essence, God has created mankind, but he's separate from his creation. No, God rules in the affairs of men. Judgment, pestilence, famine. Notice the response, verse 9. Look at it again. We stand before this house and in thy presence. God loves to see this. You know what it shows? It shows contrition. It shows a dependence on God, and that's what God wants. Does the Bible not say that a broken and a contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise? May we cry out in our affliction. He promises he will hear and help. But notice verse 12. Really, if I were to title this message other than, you know, the battle is the Lord, I would title it, Our Eyes Are Upon Thee. Because that's what it says in verse number 12. May we do the same exact thing.
Right. Amen.
Helen Lamell in 1922 wrote a song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full of his wonderful grace, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What is that? Our eyes are upon thee. In life, we often find that the battle is not so much the issue, but how we respond to the battle. A husband and a wife may have a disagreement or maybe even get in an argument. It may not even be the issue, it's how the husband or how the wife responds to the issue. So, I mean, I've heard husbands and wives argue, for at least from what I've heard. I don't know anything about it, but firsthand, but I've heard that's what happens. I love the picture. Look at verse 13. I love the picture that it gives us. It says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and with their wives and with their children. Can't you just see it? Can't you just picture it as they're all coming together? I picture them holding hands and singing and reminding God of his promises and saying, Lord, they're coming against us and our eyes are upon thee. We don't know the answer, but you do. And thirdly, notice, and lastly, our victory is assured.
Amen.
No matter what. Look at verse 15. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Right.
Say that last part with me, if you would, please. The battle is not yours, but God's. I think we need to remember that. It goes back to what I said in there in Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So the battle, whatever it is, we automatically look at the person or the situation and we think that's the battle, but it's much bigger than that. Our response is crucial, but we also have to remember, no matter what, if we just do right, the victory is assured. Yeah,
right.
And keep reading here. He says in verse 16 or 17, tomorrow you shall go down against them. Behold, they come up to the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them in the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. I love that. Set yourself. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. And he closes it by saying, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not again, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord.
Amen.
What can we learn from this last point? Very simple. Hey, don't be afraid of anything. Trust God. It can seem overwhelming. It could be massive. There could be things on the horizon that will rock the very foundation of this country. The battle is the Lord's. Our eyes are upon Him. The victory's already assured. If we try to fight it, the arm of flesh will fail every single time. Can I just say this tonight? God will always do a better job than we will. Verse 17 is amazing. You're not going to need to fight the battle. That's our God. That's our God. The main thing we should remember in this last portion of Scripture is God is going to fight our battles. We can trust Him to do a much better job. It's His. The victory is assured. Let's just make sure we do our part and acknowledge we don't have the answers. We don't have the power. We don't have the strength. Acknowledge it and turn our eyes upon Him. Pray, fast, and worship. And then he says this in the last verse 17. He says, stand still. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You know, I think God is very pleased when we trust Him. He really is very pleased. He loves to see His saints wholly trust in Him. Maybe you have a battle that you're fighting right now. Maybe there's something you're going through. And I told Pastor Shemesh, generally if I'm preaching a conference, I kind of have an idea of what I'm going to do. I've kind of laid it out. And I've prayed for this meeting since I talked to your pastor, and just, God, give me wisdom of what would be helpful to this church and to the folks that are there. I've wrestled like I've not wrestled before. I had three different messages I was going to do. I wasn't even going to do this one. But for some reason, the Lord led me to this text and said, let the text speak.
Amen.
Get up and be an encouragement to the folks. I have no idea what you're going through or what battle you're facing. But just remember, we know the enemy's real.
Yeah.
Our response is crucial,
right.
But we know the victory is assured.
Amen.
Because our God is good.
Right.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and thank you for your word, and thank you so much that we have the opportunity just to look to heaven, standing boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that you know our frailty. Lord, you know that we're broken. But Lord, in spite of that, not only do you still love us, but you have a desire to use us. And God, I pray for this church and the folks that are here. Maybe there's just somebody who's got a battle that I'm not aware of, but you are. They're facing it right now. And maybe this message tonight would just resonate in a way that draws them closer to you so they can say, our eyes are upon thee. Well, thank you for it and give you the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and amen. Amen.